You'll have to be patient with me. I'm not the best public speaker. Never have been. Just same old Moses. Believe it or not, just the same old stammering, stuttering, stumbling Moses. That's me. You were expecting perhaps a great and powerful figure, a leader filled with self-confidence, speaking with authority, a living legend walking the face of the earth like some sort of demagogue. And there was a time when I expected that too. But now I'm just a tired old man with a tired old tongue. So you'll have to be patient with me. Oh, and by the way, did I tell you that I don't speak that well? Never have. Growing up back there in Pharaoh's household, I thought poor speaking would be the worst of my troubles. But you know the story. I wasn't Egyptian royalty. I was actually a Hebrew slave, rescued through river water, saved by a basket, my own personal Noah's Ark, if you will. But that was also long ago. But I don't need to bore you with the details. You know about the murder and the escape from Egypt. You know about the parting of the Red Sea and the pillar of fire and smoke. You've heard about the tablets of stone and the golden calf. But I want to tell you something about me before the funeral, before I'm finally laid to rest. I've seen and done so much that you could get the idea that I am something of a hero. But looking back at the whole story from the top of this mountain, well, I simply feel inadequate. You know, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go back to Egypt. I didn't want to be the leader of God's people, those stiff-necked people who I learned to love so dearly. I certainly never set out to be the mouthpiece of the Almighty. Me, with my lack of speaking ability? Talk about the wrong decision. And I told him that, too. I told the great I am that I wasn't. I wasn't the best leader or the good choice for the job. I can't bring weighty words with my poor tongue. There at the burning bush, I told him I wasn't up for the job. But he wouldn't. He didn't listen to me. Oh, dear Lord, I said, please send someone else. It wasn't that I didn't want to go back, though I didn't want to go back. And it wasn't that I was afraid, though honestly, I was afraid. Mostly, I just felt, well, not up for the job, if you know what I mean. I wasn't brave enough. I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't holy enough. Why would they listen to me? But in the end, my own inadequacy didn't matter. Not to God. God decided to use old Moses, and so he did. And I wasn't alone. God gave Aaron and Miriam to share the burden of leadership with me. God put his staff in my hand to work his miracles at his word. And he sent me and my inadequacies and my inability to speak well and my murderous ways to do his bidding. I didn't look like a hero, leaving the sheep there in the desert to call on Pharaoh's court. Pharaoh didn't believe me. The people of Israel didn't believe me. I didn't believe me either. But the great I am is greater than all the gods of Egypt. The great I am is greater than my inadequacies. The great I am will accomplish his purpose even when his people are weak and doubting, confused and rebellious, incompetent and afraid, like me. I learned firsthand that God can use inadequate people to do his saving work. The plagues took on the gods of Egypt one at a time. Those miracles came at God's word through my poor voice. The lamb's blood covered our doorposts, and the angel of death passed over us. Just as God promised. And the armies of Egypt were drowned there in the Red Sea. I saw it all happen. I was part of it all. But never was I in control. It wasn't about me. If only I had remembered that. It was never about me. But somewhere along the line, I forgot that truth. You see, there at the burning bush, I was focused on me. That's why I asked God to send someone else. And God wasn't too pleased with me, for I was focusing on my own weaknesses instead of on him and his promises and power. But the longer I led this beautiful and stubborn people, the more confidence I gained. I became their leader. I spoke for God. I even saw his glory, the glory of the great I am, and my face reflected it. I learned dependence upon God in my weakness, but I forgot dependence upon God in my strength. It was just after Miriam died. We'd been wandering in the wilderness year after year, and the people still grumbled. They still lacked trust. They still blamed me for their hard and fearful hearts. And so the Lord told me to speak to a rock that the people and their cattle could drink and live. I no longer had Miriam's help, but I didn't need her anymore. I'd been leading God's people and doing God's word, so I told Aaron to gather everyone together, and I took the same staff that God gave me at the burning bush, the same staff that worked those miracles in Egypt. I took my powerful staff in my powerful hands, and I put myself on the same level as God. You hard-hearted, stiff-necked people, I yelled in righteous anger. Your grumbling has offended our honor, God's and mine. But we'll bring forth water from this hard rock. Just wait and see. Even as we did before. And though God had commanded me to speak to the rock with my weak speaking voice, I chose to take that powerful staff and strike the rock, not just once like before, but twice, to let everybody know who was in charge. Oh, the people got their water, all right. But I, who was saved through water, now was also condemned through water. I forgot the most important lesson of being God's servant. It's not about me. Since I made Moses as important as God, I'm stuck up here on this mountain. While Joshua is down there getting the people ready to march home. From here, I can see the promised land just over there, over that ridge. But I won't be going in. We buried Aaron in the wilderness, and God himself will now bury me here on this crag, and I'll have to wait for the day of resurrection before the promise of the land is fulfilled to me. Being barred from the land might seem like a pretty steep price to pay for simply hitting a rock. One lousy rock. And sometimes it feels that way to me, but my sin wasn't simply disobedience. I made myself as important as God. I stopped depending on him and his word. I thought I could do it on my own. He should have buried me right then and there at the rock of testing, but I'm sure glad he didn't, because I got another chance. A chance to learn that whether I feel powerful or inadequate, it's not about me. After we buried Aaron and I was all on my own, the people became impatient yet again. This time the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people. Their bite burned, people died. But when they returned to the Lord and confessed their sin, I prayed for them. It was always my honor to pray for them. And God gave a way for the people to be saved. This time I wasn't supposed to speak. This time I didn't need the staff. This time it wasn't about me. Instead, I was told to take some metal and shape a snake, just like the ones that were biting and killing God's people. And then to put that bronze serpent up on a spike and a pole. And I'll have to admit, shaping a serpent seemed kind of strange at the time. I mean, I saw the finger of God carve out the Ten Commandments on those tablets of stone. You shall have no other God before me. You shall make no graven images. And this same God who told me to pulverize a golden model of a calf now was asking me to shape a bronze model of a snake. A snake of all things. Can you believe it? We know all about the snake, the tempter, the enemy who got us kicked out of the land of promise in the first place. A snake taught us idolatry to begin with. But the bronze snake on a pole wasn't supposed to be worshipped. It wasn't an idol or a talisman. Instead, the snake became a symbol of sin, our sin. The bronze serpent was a sign of the punishment and death that our sins deserved. That twisted shape lifted up before God became sin for us. Our constant grumbling, our failure to trust, our stubborn rejection and rebellion, our hard hearts were all strung up on a tree. And anyone who looked upon that curse lifted up in the wilderness saw the promise of God's grace and lived. From here, I can see the promised land, still off in the distance. And I can hear the people beginning their journey home. The Lord will come again soon to plant my old body in this warm, fertile ground. And while I wait for the Lord to come, that bronze serpent is a comfort to me. It's a reminder that God is going to keep leading his people without Moses. God doesn't need good old Moses. Old Moses needs God. God will fulfill his promises in his way and in his time. And when the people sin, when they rebel, when they grumble and turn away, God himself will provide a way, a means of forgiveness, a sign of God's anger poured out upon and satisfied, lifted high on a pole. And all who look there will live.